Gurudev Gurchandra Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputram Atasvarupam Rupam Dashagrajamurupurim Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Mohoradika Madhavasam Prapto Yashipatita Kripaya Shigurum Tamnatosmi Utama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachi Adile Kakola Kahe Premananda Emona Goranga Hridoya Dariya Bola Bhaja Goranga Kaha Gorang Laha Gorangira Namore Jejana Goranga Bhaje Se Hoyamara Pranare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya, Pramavidana Padamapuata, Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Sri Kuryat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Risheyustat Priyajanaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabalabhahimam Vanchakalpatarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyahevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhai Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. You don't know, you saved me. I got mauled today, not by a dog. But I got mauled in the mall. Mm-hmm. We went to the shopping mall. And it wasn't a very nice experience. When you go to the shopping mall, do you find people wandering around going, gosh, what is the meaning of life? Do you meet people like that in the shopping mall? Is it a very nice place for introspection and thinking about the meaning of life? No. It's a very disappointing place. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, we were saying, we were there today. He writes in his Krishna Lila Stava, Rupa Namashrita Vishta. There's someone who's ashrita, who's taking shelter of Rupa Nam, Krishna's form, Krishna's name. Then Avishta, Krishna enters into that person. That's why devotees become so effulgent, why devotees become so blissful, why they're so special. So what happens to people who take shelter of the forms of Maya, and the many different illusory names of Maya, something else enters into them. We need to help them. We should set up a book table at the shopping malls. Some places, and when I was temple president in Seattle, Washington, we got permission from a few shopping malls like that. They wouldn't allow us to stop people. We couldn't even call out to people and talk to them. We would just stand there. But we had a display, a changing bodies diorama. And people would come over. We had a nice display rack of books. And so many people would come over and talk to you, give them a little prasadam and things. It was so wonderful. It was some little bit of Krishna consciousness in Maya's temple. That's their temple. So thank you very much. I feel a little better now. So I have some questions I wanted to ask all of you. I'm not trying to cause trouble. Okay, that's the first thing. I'm going to speak on a certain subject tonight. It's not because I'm in the house of the temple president here. It's really, it's not because of that. But I have some honest questions for all of you. How many of you, before you joined, liked organized religion? Raise your hands. You liked organized religion. Very good. How many of you didn't like organized religion before you joined? They did a survey in America, and they found that about 30% of the people who consider themselves to be Christians don't want to be part of any church. They consider themselves to be Christians, they consider themselves to be religious, but they don't want anything to do with organized religion. And they interview something like, 40% or more of the people under the age of 20, they don't want anything to do with organized religion. We should think about this. We should think about, what is our purpose? Our purpose is described by Srila Prabhupada in many of his lectures. I'll read you a few things that he says. Very important things. These are the things that we should meditate on quite deeply, quite often. Prabhupada said in one lecture, we are asking people without any argument or political purpose or social purpose, no. Simply we're asking that you chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Wherever we're opening our branches, it's our only business that we're requesting people to chant Hare Krishna or Radha Krishna. We don't want anything. We don't want to do any business. We are simply spreading this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because people are being washed away. In another lecture Prabhupada gave in Hyderabad in 1974, he said, practice bhakti yoga and be Krishna conscious and make your life successful. That is our mission. We are teaching that it's not a business, that give me some money and I'll teach you. It's open. We're asking everyone, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. What's the difficulty? There's no loss. You haven't got to pay anything. In another lecture in Delhi in November 1973, Prabhupada said, our only business is to make people happy. We have no other desire. We don't say that you give us some money in exchange of your Krishna consciousness. No. That is not our business. We're not merchants. We are spreading this Krishna consciousness free of charge. We are engaged servant of Krishna. Krishna will provide for us. Krishna will provide for us. So, several of you said you didn't like organized religion. What is it that you don't like about organized religion? Did someone say? Just you don't like the word, the sound, organized religion, sounds really bad to the ears. Is there some particular thing you don't like about it, Mataji? You said you didn't like it. Why don't you like it?
It's the enforced ideas or regulations on you that you may not want to follow, but with no reasoning behind it.
Very good. It's something artificial, mechanical.
Yes.
Yeah? You have to follow this thing whether you like it or not. I agree with that. That's something I also didn't like about organized religion. Anything else? I remember I used to sell books for some years in an airport in Seattle, Washington. Seattle, Washington is an interesting place. It gets the most rain in the whole United States. The people there drink the most coffee in the whole United States. They read the most books in the whole United States, and they commit suicide the most. There's actually a lot of people very interested in philosophy and searching for something. We met a lot of interesting people there at the airport. And every day when we were there, we'd stop someone. They'd say, no, I'm not interested in organized religion. And I say, yeah, I'm not either. That's why I'm out here today. And I would tell them something about Srila Prabhupada's strategy in organizing the Krishna conscious movement was that he wanted the temples to be autonomous, meaning that they would have someone looking over them, a GBC man, but the temple president and the managers in the temple were in charge of that place, and they would decide the management details and like that. And the idea was more of a family kind of atmosphere. And you'd have different centers. Like here we have Soweto. We went there a few days ago, Mahaprabhu. There's a very, very sweet mood there. Very nice. But he has his particular kind of flavor, which is different from the temple here in Lanesia. And this temple has another kind of mood. And we were in Durban. There's another kind of mood there. We went to Phoenix. And at Jagannath Mandir, there's another kind of mood there. And that makes me very, very happy. And here in this house is another kind of mood. Because we all have different moods. Because we're all persons. And I think personally, this is one thing that organized religion makes people turned off by, is that we don't treat people like individuals. We want to treat them like numbers. We want to treat them like Sankirtan scores. Huh? Or stories to be told at the end of the day to inspire the other devotees. But we don't treat them like people, like individuals. We can't respect their opinion about anything. So tonight, we'd like to, if all of you will come with us, we'd like to go to Vrindavan. Would you like to go to Vrindavan? Not to your house, but to the place. And not that place near Delhi, but the eternal Vrindavan. We'd like to speak about a pastime tonight. Before we begin reading about it, speaking something from it, this is a pastime which is known as the Yajnapatni Leela, or the pastime of the wives of the Vedic Brahmins. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Sikshamrita and Krishna Samhita, he describes that all the different naimittic leelas. What is a naimittic leela? Not you can't answer. What is a naimittic leela? You know, naimittic's also a Bengali word, isn't it?
No?
Okay. What is a naimittic leela? Nobody knows? Okay. Nitya leela is something which is always going on. Naimittic means occasional. What are some of the naimittic leelas of Krishna? Does anybody know? Can't think of any naimittic leelas, any occasional pastimes? Do you think I'm just going to sit here and entertain you? And you don't have to think? I'm going to make you uncomfortable. What are some naimittic leelas of Krishna? Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill? Okay. These are naimittic leelas means pastimes which don't take place in the spiritual world. Can someone say any other naimittic leelas?
A killing of demons.
Yes, the killing of demons. That's something which doesn't take place. There's no demons. Prabhupada once, he said, there's rumors in the spirit. Did you hear? There's some demon coming and everybody feels afraid. But there's no demons then. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, I think, 21 different naimittic leelas of Krishna in Braj, mostly the killing of the demons, but also the extinguishing of the forest fire, which is a subject I think we may speak about on tomorrow night, if Krishna allows. And also this pastime, the Yajnapatni Leela. And he says that each one of these naimittic leelas, it's very practical, these naimittic leelas represent obstacles in our path to our eternal home of Vrindavan. We all want to go to Vrindavan, not Vrindavan Prabhu's house. Maybe we'd like to go there also. But we want to go to that eternal home of Vrindavan, where everything is wonderful. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song. Everyone is so in love with Krishna. We want to go to that place. But there's different obstacles on the way. The first obstacle is represented by Putana. Putana is a false guru. She's sent by Kamsa, who represents the head of false religion. And each one of the different naimittic leelas represents some obstacle. I know Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj has given some elaborate classes about this subject matter. We're not going to try to touch on all of those. We just like to touch on this one tonight. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Krishna Samhita speaks about this. He says, Tesham Sri Sadagatya Sri Krishna Sanidimvane Akurvanatma Danam Vai Krishnaya Paramatmane. For those of you who are Sanskrit scholars here in the room, which I'm sure is probably at least 50% of you, in the translation we'll give, you may detect that it's not exactly according to the translation. You may become disturbed by that. Don't be disturbed. In Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda is given Mula Sanskrit slokas. And in his Bengali Anuvad, he's fluffed out the cotton. He's given a bigger translation. So this is based on that. He's Tesham Sri Sadagatya, the wives of the ass-like Brahmins. That's not very nice, anyway. The wives of the ass-like Brahmins represent people who are subordinate to those with undeveloped faith. Being under the control of the sweetness of Krishna, who is a super soul, they went to the forest and offered themselves to him. Those who have undeveloped faith are called mundane devotees or prakrita bhaktas, mundane persons. So this is an important lila to understand how this obstacle is there in all of our spiritual life. This is the obstacle of mechanical religion. Those Vedic Brahmins are very expert in all of this kind of stuff. This is a really hard one to do. They know how to chant so many mantras and, you know, mudras and different things, but they have no devotion for Krishna. One day, Jiva Goswami says, Krishna took the boys out to herd the cows, and on that particular day, something had happened. Mother Yashoda didn't pack lunch for the boys. And on that particular day, Krishna purposely took them on a path where there were no fruit trees. In the beginning of this chapter in the Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami, he describes that the boys, the first verse of the 23rd chapter, they called out, Rama Rama Mahabaho, Krishna Dushta Nibachane, Eshavai Bhadatek Shunnas, Touch chantim kartum arhata. O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one. O Krishna, dusani bachana, chastiser of the wicked. We have a problem. There's a demon attacking us. You always defend us from the demons. So this demon you have to come and save us from. What is that demon? It's the demon of hunger. We're all very hungry, Krishna, and you should do something about it. No, does this sound like pure bhakti? Can I ask a very, maybe that's a politically incorrect question, I don't know, but does that sound like pure bhakti? Doesn't sound like pure bhakti to me. If you go to God, please feed me. Our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread, and I'd like some pumpernickel bread today. And you can bake some whole wheat bread for me tomorrow, because God's a big baker in the sky. He's one of those white hats. And his whole purpose is just to give bread to me. He's a nice God. The cowherd boys are speaking like this. What does it mean? It's an interesting thing. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 1, text 35, Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit an interesting thing. Naivam vidha purusha kara arukramasya pungsam tat angri rajasa jita sadgunanam chitram vidura vigata sakrit adadita yannamadeyam aduna sajahati bandham. He says that pumsantarangri rajasajita sadgunanam, that devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, they're never hungry. They're never thirsty. They're never bothered by these six waves of problems that we all have in this material world. But wait a minute. This first verse of the 23rd chapter, it describes very clearly, kshun means some hunger, that the boys, they were hungry. So maybe we should edit this verse out. It's not proper Siddhanta. What does it mean? The boys were hungry. We should understand very deeply the nature, the residents of the spiritual world. They're not like us. As Parthasarathy Maharaj was describing nicely last night, don't try to extrapolate something and imagine something about them. I'm hungry. They're also hungry like me. Their hunger is like my hunger. This is called the rope. A rope means when you assign something to something else. So we shouldn't do that thing. The cowherd boys, they don't have one atom in their body which is not there for the pleasure of Krishna. They never get hungry. Jiva Goswami, in his Laghu Vaishnava Toshini, he says the boys were apparently uncultured in the way that they demanded food from Krishna. But they weren't really hungry. Just like the gopis, sometimes they're described as kam anuga. Does anybody know what kam anuga means? Can anybody say? You'll be very shocked. She knows. Kam means lust. And anuga means a follower. So they're followers of the path of lust. Are the gopis lusty? Yes, they are. It said they're kamanuga, but they're not lusty for themselves. This is a purport of Raslila. People in the material world can't understand Raslila. Maharaj was speaking a little something about it last night, how this Raslila is the ultimate goal of all the devotees in this movement. Srila Prabhupada says that. Maharaj was reading from one purport. The Raslila means lust. It means God being lusty to give pleasure to his devotees. And it means the devotees being lusty to give pleasure to God. Just the exact opposite of the material world. The gopis are lusty, but they're lusty to give Krishna pleasure. They want that. There's not a trace of mundane lust in the gopis. So similarly, in the cowherd boys, there's no selfish desire. They were feeling hungry because they thought, it's been a long time, Krishna and Balaram must really be hungry. But if we tell them, look, you guys must be hungry, we'll get something for you, then they deny it. But we know Krishna loves us so much. So if we tell Krishna that we're hungry, then Krishna, he'll definitely want to get something to eat because he cares about us. Whereas if we told him we want to get something for you, he may say, it's not necessary. I don't need that thing. So Krishna told the boys, Prayato devayajjanam brahmana brahmavarinaha satyam angirasam nama yasate swarga kamyaya. Krishna said, not far from here, you should go following along the Jamuna River, and you'll come to a place where it looks very cloudy, like there's some fog. It's not fog. It's smoke coming from sacrificial fires. And you go there, you'll find many Brahmins, and they're doing shatram angirasam nama yasate swarga kamya. They're doing a yajna called angira yajna. I want all of you to mark that. Please remember, because we want to do a circle in this discussion this evening. This has some significance. Every word in the Bhagavatam, prati shloki, prati akshari, nanatakwe, every word, every syllable has unlimited meaning. So there's a reason why it said angiras nama, not just yajna in general, but angira yajna. In the Brahmavivarta Purana, Krishna describes those Brahmins. Nispriha Vaishnava Sarve Mam Yajanti Mimukshavaha. Nispriha Vaishnava Sarve means they're all pure Vaishnavas. Those Vedic Brahmins are all pure Vaishnavas. Mam Yajanti Mimukshavaha. They're worshipping me, yearning for liberation. Okay, how do you understand this? Does this make sense? Is someone a pure Vaishnava who desires liberation? What do you think, Prabhuji? Very uncomfortable when we make people answer questions, isn't it? It's easier to hold up the wall. do we understand this? Prabhuji, what do you think?
Vaishnavas do not desire for
liberation. Liberation, right. But these are Krishna's words. In Brahmavivarta Purana, he says, Nispriha Vaishnava Sarve, they're all pure Vaishnavas. Mam yajanti mamukshavaha. They're all desiring liberation. What does it mean? We should understand this deeply. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we already read, he calls them prakrita bhaktas. But they're bhaktas. They're Vaishnavas, but they're prakrita Vaishnavas. They're materialistic Vaishnavas. There are different types of Vaishnavas. And sometimes they look very good. They may be wearing tilak, they wear dhoti every day, they go to all the Mangal Artiks, they do whatever. But inside there's something else. This is a big subject in and of itself, but I think we should touch a little on some philosophy here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's a difference between chaya bhaktyabhas and pratibimba bhaktyabhas. What's the difference? Do you understand the meaning of these words? Chaya means a shadow, and pratibimba means a reflection. Of the two, which is better? Reflection, huh? Everybody likes that? If you have two things, you have a tree, standing on a lake, on the edge of a lake. You can see the reflection of the water. There's color, you see some form, and you have a shadow to the tree. Which is better? Wrong. The shadow always and necessarily is better. Of these two, Chaya Bhakti Abhas and Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas, the Chaya Bhakti Abhas bhaktas are those persons who are vishayas. They can't control their senses. They can't follow regulated principles. Krishna describes them in Bhagavad Gita that apichet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanya bhaksadareva samantavya samyaghi vyasito hi saha. He says they're durachari sadhus. Their achar is not good. But they're sadhus because they're doing ananyata bhajan. That means they're not taking shelter of karma or jnana or yoga. They're not worshipping the demigods. I may be fallen. Maybe I can't follow the principles, but I'm going to worship Krishna. That's their attitude. We don't like to hear from them, but they're sadhu. Sadhu eva samantavya. Now who are those persons who are pratibimba bhakti abhas persons? Those are mayavadis. And sometimes they look better than the devotees. I hope I don't get in trouble saying that. But just as the reflection of the tree in the water looks better than the shadow, sometimes, we gave a class about this some years ago to some group of devotees from China, and one of them became very excited after hearing us. He said, yes, this answers my question. I've seen sometimes they have some very old Buddhist monks, and they're very good at controlling their senses. They sit down, they do meditation, no problem. But we have an ISKCON. Sometimes even there's problems with our sannyasis and our gurus. These other guys look better. But of the two, the shadow is better. Why? Because the shadow is connected to the tree. The reflection, even though it looks better, and the mayavadis may look better than the devotees sometimes. How many devotees here in the room know Sanskrit? Okay. Many mayavadis, they know Sanskrit very well. They may know more shastra than we do. And they may be better at following principles than we are. But the devotees are always and necessarily better because they're connected. So, Nishpiha Vaishnava Savi Mamya Janti Mamukshavaha. This is a kind of bhakti bhas. It's not pure bhakti, but it's some kind of bhakti. We should understand there's different types of bhakti. So Krishna told them to go there. Those boys, they went there. Krishna told them, tatcha gatvodanam gopa yata tasmad visarjitaha kittayanta bhagavata aryasya mamachabidam. He said, when you go there, just ask for some food. Don't say my name. He said, tell them Balaram sent you. Why does that? Jiva Goswami in Lagva Vaishnava Toshini, he explains that Krishna, first of all, he said, you may feel nervous. Don't introduce yourselves, but use our names. But especially use Balaram's name, because he's very, very powerful. In Sarita Darshani, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that you should call out our names for two reasons. Number one, because these guys are asleep. It looks like they're really expert Brahmins, but they're sleepwalking. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. Wake them up by chanting our names. And you should say Balaram's name first because these guys are really materialistic. And they may think, Krishna, he's the son of a cowherd. Nanda Maharaj, he's a gopa, gwala. We won't give to them. Balaram, oh, well, he's the son of a kshatriya. That's a step higher. Maybe we'll give some food for him. Prabhupada says in Krishna book, more or less the same, and he adds that Krishna warned his friends, these Brahmins are not Vaishnavas. He says just the opposite of what Krishna says in Brahma Vaivarta Purana. They are not Vaishnavas because they cannot even chant our names, Krishna and Balaram. They're doing so many Vedic hymns, they're chanting this and that and the other. And although the purpose of all those Vedic knowledge is to find me, but because, Prabhupada says, they're not attracted by the names of Krishna and Balaram, you better not ask them for anything in my name. Better to ask for some charity in the name of Balaram, because he's a kshatriya. So, the boys arrived there, And they became very happy. They saw all the sacrificial fire and the dense clouds of smoke. They could see that with their eyes and with their nose. They were smelling the wonderful fragrance of burning ghee and different special herbs and spices they put in the fire. The warm air which is coming from the fire soothed their sense of touch. Meanwhile, the Brahmins, they were all chanting mantras. Om Sahasra Sirsa Purushaha Sahasraksa Sahasrapat Sabhumin Visrato Vitya Achatista Dasangulam Swaha Idam Vishnave Hidan Namama. Very nice. Sounded very sweet to their ears. And their tongues began watering, because especially Madhu Mangal. He was thinking, very soon we're going to get to have a very nice lunch, just like all of you are waiting. When are we going to have prasadam? When this guy quits talking, please be patient. So in this way, all five of their senses were engaged there and were delighted. They saw, Jiva Goswami says, there were many raised seats all around, many different fire pits. There was kusha grass spread all over the place. There was many pots, full pots of water, sacred water and ghee all over. There were big piles of mango wood and other types of auspicious wood. And in the middle of the Yajnasala, Madhu Mangal saw it first, there were many big pots full of very nice foodstuffs. All around there were big mortars and pestles they were using for grinding spices and ingredients for the yajna. And all these different Brahmins were chanting mantras in very sweet tones. And these yajnas, they were so expert. They were doing the exact yajna at the exact particular times of the day. And around these yajnasalas, there was a community. There were many white cottages where all these Brahmins were living. So those boys, they came before the Brahmins with folded hands. They said, "Hey Bhumi Deva Srinuta, O earthly gods, listen to us." Bhumi Deva means gods of the earth. These Brahmins are addressed as Bhudev because they're only standing on Vrindavan. But it says that the boys, when they arrived there, they fell down on the ground and they offered obeisances. Interesting point. The boys, they're very intimately connected with Vrindavan Dham, whereas the Brahmins are only on top of Vrindavan Dham. And so those boys, they said, "O earthly gods, please listen to us. We're cowherd boys. We came here on the order of Krishna and Balaram. We wish all good to you because you're very pious people. You understand your Dharma Vitama." Dharma Vitama means that someone who knows all about religious Dharma. So you should give us some food. A Dharma Vitama can also, depending on the Sunday, Dharma Vitama means the best, or a Dharma Vitama. Tama means ignorant, someone who is very, very ignorant, who doesn't know anything of real religious principles. The boys said, "What's with you guys?" Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, usually we take about a week, by the way, of 3 hours a day to describe this Leela. We're trying to do it very quickly tonight, so you can all help us out. So in that sacrifice, Jiva Goswami says the Brahmins, they were chanting Hum, Fat, Sro, Shad, Bo, Shad, but they never chanted Krishna's name. So the boys, they weren't very happy with that yajna. And so the boys, they asked the Brahmins, "You please give us some food on behalf of Krishna and Balaram." In the Danga there? So I'll sing you some lines. This is from a very nice book called Vrindavan Lilamrita, by a Bengali devotee. His name was Nandikishore Das Goswami. No, you can play. He was a mahant at Nityananda Vat on the bank of the Jamuna, not just right next to the Radha Damodar temple. Have any of you been to Nityananda Vat? Raise your hand. They have an original copy there of Vrindavan Das Chakra's Chaitanya Bhagavat in his handwriting. If you go there, you ask the mahant for that, to see that. So Nandikishore Goswami lived a few hundred years ago. They say that he had Leela Spurti. He saw the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he wrote a wonderful book describing the same thing in the Bhagavatam, but with some interesting details. And he said, what happened at that time? What did the Brahmins think when the boys asked him for food? Sahaje rakala mate vire vane vane ki kahile ki bahoy ki chui na jane Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Sahaje rakala mate vire vane vane. These are just simple cowherd boys. They don't understand high-class Brahmins like us. They don't even know ki kahili ki bahoy ki chui na jani. They don't know how to speak properly. Just cowherd people. But ourselves. Yagya rambha kori mora noya vipragana Ishvara bojana lagi karai randana Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna We don't give food to cowherd boys. We're Brahmins. Ishvara bojana lagi. We feed God. Tanre nive dhiya bunjai da vipragane Ave shesha bhanti diva anya loka gane Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna After we offer the bhoga to God, then we'll feed the Brahmins. Because, very important, the Brahmins are the mouths of God, not cowherd boys. And later we'll distribute the food to everyone. This is the nature of mundane religionists. They're doing this all over the world, in so many temples, in mosques, in churches. They're claiming to worship God. But then when God's representative, Sri Guru, in the form of the cowherd boys, directly sent by Krishna himself. And these Brahmins, they're doing yagya vai Vishnu, so a yagya for the satisfaction of Vishnu. And then Vishnu comes and said, yeah, I'm hungry. Go away. You're not supposed to come in that form. That's the nature of materialistic people. I recognize God in my temple, in the form of my Gurudev, in the form of our Sangha, our institution, but he can't come in any other form. He certainly can't come in any other group. He definitely couldn't be a Christian, or, God forbid, a Muslim. No, we wouldn't allow him in. We should be very careful. Krishna's very crooked. He's crooked in three places. And he comes in very crooked ways sometimes. We can't understand how Krishna comes. We should simply cry for Krishna, pray to Krishna, and Krishna, he'll appear before us. So the Bhagavatam says those Brahmins didn't even answer the boys. They wouldn't even look at them. The boys felt very depressed. They went back to Krishna and they said, Krishna, you told us to go out in Sankirtan today. And we went out and these guys just abused us. We told them, hey, we're here on behalf of Krishna and Balaram. Better give some respect. But they give us no respect. Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, he says that this is the nature of when you go and beg. Sometimes people don't give you anything. And that's very good. Because it teaches us some humility. If we just go out and we demand everybody, hey, don't you know who I am? I'm from the Lanesha temple. Better start getting your wallets out. We may get the wrong idea. And other people may get the wrong idea too. It's very good. Let me be abused. It's described that in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there was one Brahmin who was a very miserly person. He never gave gifts to his children. He wouldn't buy any saris or anything for his wife. The other ladies around the neighborhood, they would see she didn't have anything they felt sorry for. They'd give her their old saris and things, old clothing. He's a very penny-pinching person. And he's always trying to cheat people for money, very greedy for money. And because of that, his family hated him. And all the local villagers hated him. And that was very good. Because at a certain point in his life, he became detached. And he decided, what is this? I should become a devotee. And he went to one sadhu Mahatma. He said, Maharaj, please give me initiation. Please accept me. And that sadhu accepted him. He said, Gurudev, now what can I do to serve you? He said, yes, there's some service I want you to do. I want you to go and beg. Yes, Gurudev, I'll do that. Where should I go? I want you to go back to your village and beg there. He said, Guru Maharaj said, I don't think it's a very good idea. You don't understand. I'm not very popular there. I can do a lot more collections somewhere else. So I'll do really good. But he said, no, you go to that place. Yes, Gurudev. And he went there, knocked on the door. Hi, remember me? My Guru Maharaj sent me today, and because I become a sadhu now, Vaishnava, and please give me some Bhumata Bhagavati Bhiksham Day, he give me some alms. And people looked, you? What are you doing? Come, get out! They started shouting at him, get a job, go away, bogus person. And he went back at the end of the day. His Guru Maharaj said, so how did it go? He said, Guru Maharaj, very bad. Everybody abused me. They told me to go away. They didn't give me anything. I'm sorry, Gurudev, I didn't collect anything. So what should I do tomorrow? He said, just go back to the same place. Guru Maharaj, I really don't think that's a very good idea. Some of the people got pretty angry today. I go back there again tomorrow. No, you should go back there. Yes, Gurudev. He went back there. And first person spit in his face. And another person started chasing him to beat him. People were so angry with him. At the end of the day, he came back to his guru. Guru Maharaj, I didn't collect anything. Guru Maharaj said, good. You should go back again tomorrow. Guru Maharaj, it was a lot worse today. I'm afraid tomorrow. No, you should go back. Okay. And the next day he went there. They were waiting for him this time. First house, the lady had a nice big bucket full of urine. She threw it on him. Standing there, drenched in urine. And some of the people punched him in the face this time. This and that. And he went back at the end of the day, smelled pretty bad. Came before his Guru Maharaj. Guru Dev. His Guru Maharaj said, very good. You should go back again tomorrow. Yes, Guru Dev. And so he did. That day, people saw, wait, yesterday I threw a bucket of urine on him. I punched him in the face. I spit on him. And he's so tolerant and humble. Actually, I think he really is a sadhu. I'll give him some money. And everybody started giving him money. He went back at the end of the day. His Guru Maharaj said, how did it go? He said, Guru Maharaj, it was really good today. I collected so much. I did really good. His Guru Maharaj said, good. Don't go back there again. Well, Sankirtan, book distribution, collection is not just for the benefit of the conditioned souls, because I'm a liberated soul. I'm practically in the spiritual world already. And I'm going out there just to bless them and benedict them because I'm so great. If we think like that, we're going to have a very bad day. We're going out there to do some service. And we should go out there, and our mood should be that we respect everyone. We should see, really, they're better than me. Sometimes that's a little hard, when they have a beer in one hand and some chicken in the other hand. But you can think, well, this guy, at least he has a job. I don't even have a job. He's working hard. It's not such an easy thing to have a job. Takes care of his family. And maybe he's an honest person. And maybe I'm not always so honest. We can find something. This is the art of culture, that we should look at everyone. Everyone we see, we should find something in them which is better than me. Once there was one devotee who went to Radhakund after many years, and he retired from family life. And he went to one famous Mahatma there, and he said, Maharaj, please accept me as your disciple. Well, this guru could see that this fellow was very proud. He thought he could make a lot of money. He knows a lot of Shastra. And he said, no, you're not really sincere. No, Gurudev, please. And he wouldn't give him initiation, but the person kept bothering him, kept coming and, please, Maharaj, please. Finally he said, okay, I'll give you initiation, but you have to do something first. I'm going to give you 48 hours. And in 48 hours, you have to bring one person or one thing which in every respect is lower than you. And if you do that, I'll give you initiation. He said, very good, no problem. I come from a very high-class family. I'm very educated. But all these rickshaw wallahs are over here, man. I'll get one of those guys. They're a lot lower than me. And he walked, and suddenly he realized, wait a minute. These guys are Dambasis. They were born here in the Dham. No, they're not lesser than me in every way. So then he started looking, oh, here's a street sweeper. Guy's definitely, oh, but see, he's chanting Krishna's names while he's sweeping. And he's also a Dambasi. He's also not lesser than me. The pigs eating stool, definitely lesser than me. No, but the pigs are also Dambasis doing something. He couldn't find anyone. The 48 hours were almost over. And that morning, as he got up, he went to the field to pass stool. As he was passing stool, he saw a worm crawl into his stool. And he thought, phew, Krishna saved me. Finally, I found someone who's really lower than me in every respect, eating stool. But then he thought, actually, the worm's also better than me in some ways. I'm eating nice Krishna prasadam. And what do I turn it into? We don't want to speak about that. It comes out of some very nasty smelling thing, that nice Krishna prasad. This worm is taking that nasty thing and turning it into earth, turning it into brajduli. This worm is doing some amazing thing that even I can't do. And then he went back to that Maharaj and he said, I'm very sorry. I tried. You gave me 48 hours, but I couldn't find anyone who was lower than me in every way. And then Maharaj said, now you're qualified. Now I'll give you initiation. So sometimes Gurudev does like this. He tells us to go out on book distribution, which is actually the business of Srila Prabhupada, the business of the Mahatmas. He tells us to go and preach, to collect money. We're not qualified for that, but we get some benefit by doing it. We should go out and we should humbly think everyone better than myself and love them, have affection for them. And if you go in that mood, you will find everything is wonderful. And so many people will be very happy to take a book from you, to hear from you, if you do it in the mood of service. But if you do it in the mood of, I'm a big person, hey, don't you know, last week I was the biggest book distributor here, hey, you should take this book from me so I can keep my scores going, that's the most important thing, then they'll sense that. And they won't appreciate it because you're being mechanical. And people don't appreciate mechanical religion. Even you may be doing sacrifices. In his Sartha Darshani commentary on the Bhagavatam 10.6.3, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur speaks about putana. And he says, in those places where people engage in scriptural duties like sacrifices without doing devotional acts such as hearing about Krishna, hearing Krishna Katha, in those places, the Rakshasis become powerful. Wow. They're doing some sacrifice for the Lord, but they're not hearing and chanting Krishna's names. They're more interested in collecting money. Sometimes maybe they're interested in selling books, but they're not interested in actually helping people. They're not interested in giving people Krishna's name or speaking, hearing Krishna Katha. He says the Rakshasis become powerful in those places, in those temples, in those sacrifices. The Rakshasis become powerful. He says, but Rakshasis have no influence where the primary activities, Mukhya Bhakti, is going on. We spoke about this several times since we've been here. The difference between Mukhya Bhakti and Gona Bhakti. Mukhya Bhakti means Panchanga Bhakti. It means Bhagavat Shravan, Nam Kirtan, Dambas, Murtir Seva, and Sadhu Sangha. These things, in and of themselves, if you only do it by itself, even if you don't know what you're doing, you get benefit. There's also Gona Bhakti. Gona Bhakti is not direct. Gona Bhakti means you're going and selling something. It means you're going and you're collecting money, you're trying to build temples. It's secondary, but it has some potency if you're doing it for Prabhupada. If you're doing it for your Gurudev, then it's bhakti also. And you can achieve perfection. And Srila Prabhupada said, we should collect money, we should make temples, we should do this thing. If we're doing it for Prabhupada, it's benefit. But if we're just doing it by itself, if we become the International Society for Building Consciousness, for Construction Consciousness, and we tell everybody the secret of life is collect money and make buildings, and your life will be perfect. That's not the purpose of our movement. And those people won't get perfection, and we won't get perfection. But if you're doing that for Srila Prabhupada, to make a temple for Gaurani Thai, for Radha Govinda, that's something else. So the boys, they came back, and they complained to Krishna. And Krishna told them, well, that's what happens when you go out and beg. Sometimes you get refused. So you just have to tolerate. And then Krishna told them, he said, you should go again. And this time you go to the wives of the Brahmins and you just tell them that Balaram and I have come, but don't tell them that I'm hungry. Just tell them that we've come. Don't say that I'm hungry. And the boys said, but how will they give us food if we don't tell them that you're hungry? Krishna said, you just go and you'll see. Everything will be, seeing that you're hungry, they'll give you food. And the boys said, but their husbands won't let them. Krishna said, the affection these wives have for me is very, very great. And they're not going to listen to their husbands. You'll see. So the boys were a little bewildered. They went there to that place. And the Bhagavatam describes a very interesting thing. Here it is. Yes. The boys went there and they said, they told the ladies, Namo vo vipra patni bhyo, pranams to you, wives of the Brahmins. Krishna hi sita vayam, Krishna sent us. Gashcharyan sa gopalag sa ramo duramagataha bubukshitasya tashyanam sanugasya pradiyatam. Krishna's hungry. Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Why does the Bhagavatam say this? Just Jiva Goswami, I was reading from Gopal Champu before, says that Krishna told them, don't tell them we're hungry. Why did Krishna tell them not to say that? What happened in between? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that when the boys came there, as soon as they said, Krishna and Balaram sent us, a funny thing happened. The conversation finished because the ladies were laying on the ground unconscious in ecstasy. As soon as they heard the words, Krishna and Balaram sent us, boom, they just fell unconscious. And the boys were standing there looking at each other, what are we supposed to do now? How are we going to get any food? They're just laying there unconscious. So then the boys told them, Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. And then the ladies jumped up. And they felt very, very guilty. Stupid mind, why did you fall unconscious? Krishna's hungry. What are you doing, idiot? Why did you fall unconscious? Now you may say the boys were offenders because the boys disobeyed Krishna's order. No, the boys are actually Sadguru. Sometimes Sadguru, he may do something which looks like it's not right. But he knows Krishna's heart. He knows Krishna's desire. And the boys, they understand exactly what is Krishna's desire. They didn't tell the ladies at first that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. But they said, Krishna and Balaram sent us. The ladies fainted. And then the boys saw, what are we going to do now? Oh, we know the medicine. So they gave the right medicine. The medicine, in this case, seemed contrary to Krishna's instruction. But it wasn't. Because they were actually anusar. They were following the mood of Krishna, not anukor. Or just being some external person. Maharaj was also speaking about this last night. So at that time, the ladies, they began collecting so many foodstuffs. And they were very eager to go and feed the boys. And their husbands saw them. What are you doing? There's another nice book called Govinda Mangal by Dukhi Shamdas. We were saying something the other day. Dukhi Shamdas was a direct disciple of Shamananda Prabhu. If you know who Shamananda Prabhu is, we just went to a place in Cuttack a few weeks ago with Indrajumna Maharaj. There's a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's 104 years old. And in his home, he has the original shoes of Shamananda Prabhu. Worship in their family for hundreds of years. We went and had darshan. So anyway, this is from that book and it describes what happened when the ladies were going to go and see Krishna. Brahma niracharita dekhiya dvijagan Patta aguliya lake bole kuvachan. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When the Brahmins saw the condition of their wives, dekhiya dvijagan Patta aguliya rake, they went and stood in the way. And Bole Kuvachan, they spoke very harshly to them. Emona kuburi keba dila to sabare Hodana vyanjana loye dide rakalare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Emona kuburi keba dila to sabare. Who gave you such bad intelligence that you're taking food to that rakal, that cowherd boy? What are you doing? Viprapatni hoya torda pari liki karma tada pashe gela narahibe kula dharma Hare Krishna Hare Krishna You should understand who you are. You're viprapatnis. You're our wives. You have to behave in a certain way. People expect something from you because they know how important we are. Viprapatni hoya tora karili ki karma. What are you doing? Tara pashe gela na rahibe kula dharma. If you go there, you're going to lose your religion. Your kula dharma. It's irreligious to go to that cowherd boy Krishna. You don't do that. Kulera kamini tora kena jahabane yagya karye deha mana chalaha sadhane Hare Krishna Kulera kamini tora, your wives are very good families. What are you doing going to the forest? You come back here and do your religious duties. Yagya karye deha mana chalaha sadhane. You do your sadhana, you do your, just take part with these yagyas. But what do the ladies do? Namane prabhuda tara brahmane ratoli Krishna dada sana ase pela sabhe chale Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 They just said, excuse me, get out of my way. They just push past their husbands. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, he says, when the wives of the Brahmins were preparing to leave home to go see Krishna, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go, but the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he doesn't care for bodily ties. Our movement shouldn't stop people from going to Krishna. There's so many rules and regulations and artificial, mechanical things. We should encourage people, even if it's not exactly in the way that we like it. Maybe they don't give the money we would like them to give or do whatever. They arrive there and they saw Krishna. Shyamam hiranyaparidim vanamaya barha dhatu pravala natavesham anubratamse vinyasta hastam itarenu dunanam abjam karanot palala kakapola mukabjahasam. And they saw Krishna. Their first vision of Krishna. What will we do when that day comes? When we see Krishna, have you ever thought about it, Mukunda? Have you ever thought, what are you going to do? All of a sudden, gee, I didn't think about this. Let me get back to you. Okay? What are we going to do? What was it like? Shamam hiranyaparidim vanamaya barha. They saw the beauty of Shamsundar Krishna, his bluish, blackish complexion. Hiranyaparidim, he had a golden dhoti on. And Vanamalya Barha, Krishna had a forest garland around his neck. Dattu prabala natavesham anabhitamse. He had different colored minerals, ointments, designs, decorating his cheeks and arms. There were buds from different flowers in his head. Natavesham, he was dressed like a beautiful dancer. And anavritamse vinyasta hastam. His one hand, his left hand, was on the shoulder of one of his bandhus, one of his dear friends. And his other hand, itarina dunanam abjam, he was twirling a lotus flower. Karnot palalaka kapola mukabja hasam. On his ears were utpala lilies and mukabja hasam. He had a big smile on his face. Everything that Krishna does, every little way that Krishna looks, has a deep meaning. What is the meaning here? Why is Krishna leaning on his left side? Who's on Krishna's left side? Radharani. In this world, when we have a marriage ceremony, after the marriage ceremony, where does the wife sit, Mataji? On the left side. The daughter is on your right side. Your wife is on the left side. So why is Krishna leaning on one of the cowherd boys? Huh? The boys are the gurus of those ladies. Huh? And by leaning on their guru, Krishna is indicating that he also has some attraction for them in a conjugal kind of way. At the same time, Krishna is twirling a lotus in his right hand and smiling. What does that mean? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was conveying his intentions by his gestures, his left arm on a friend's shoulder, and twirling a play lotus, Dunanam Abjam, in his right hand. And by this, Krishna was telling the ladies, I've seized within my hand your lotus hearts, and I'm eagerly twirling them about. Or Krishna's telling them, by just seeing you in your loving sentiments, my lotus heart is twirling out of eagerness. Krishna is Rasika Shekhar. He is the king of all Rasiks. And everything that he does, every glance, every movement, every gesture, every dress, everything he does has some purport. So at that time, the ladies became stunned. And they became confused because they closed their eyes and they saw Krishna in their hearts and Krishna embraced them. And then they opened their eyes and they saw Krishna outside and they couldn't figure out, is he outside or is he inside or is he both? And this way, those ladies, they became stunned in ecstasy. And at that time, Krishna told them, oh, you're carrying very heavy loads. It makes me very embarrassed. Can I help you? Why have you come here? And those ladies, they told Krishna that we've come here to see you. We want to give you something. And then Krishna, it's a long story, Krishna told them, go home. You have to go and help your husbands because they're doing religious activities. They've just attained the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna's telling him, go back to those Budmas rascals and help them in their religious activities. How do we understand that? But Krishna told them, go home. Shavana dasanam dhyanam mayi bhavo nikirtanat na tata sanikarshena pratiyata tato grihan. He said, it's not just by seeing me and by associating with me that someone comes close to me. You go back to your husbands. What does it mean? What happened when they went back there? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his Sartha Darshani, Tatascha sabarya api guru naiva manasyato bhakti rahitam atmanam vyani dani tyaha jisteti alokikam lokeshva sambhavam. Those Brahmins were very shocked when they came back. They understood, oh, we made a big mistake. You did something we couldn't do. You went to Krishna. And Vishwanath says that although they were ladies, the Brahmins regarded those ladies as their gurus. And they accepted them as guru. They became very confused. How is it that these ladies, they never practiced the celibacy. They weren't brahmacharis. They never lived in the guru's ashram. They never studied Sanskrit. They never got upanayanam. They never got second initiation. They never did any shrota. They never did any ceremonies or anything like that. They never studied shastra. How is it that they developed so much love for Krishna and they immediately ran to him, but we were such boka budma, so stupid, nonsense rascals that we couldn't understand? Why? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a wonderful explanation. They're just simple ladies. What were they doing? Their husbands were doing all the swaha ha and taking all the prasadam and all the bakshish, all the donations, very important. And what were those ladies doing? They were making garlands and cooking. But as part of their service, they were getting very nice flowers and betel nuts from some aborigine ladies who lived in a place called Vrindavan. And those Aboriginal ladies, when they would come and sell them the flowers and the betel nuts and things, they would tell them about the wonderful son of the King of Braj, Krishna. And so those ladies became so addicted to hearing and chanting about Krishna, although their husbands didn't pay attention to them because they didn't know any mudras or any fancy mantras, and they weren't the temple president or anything like that. They were just like, you know, ladies, get out of the way. And they were just doing very simple, humble things. They were hearing and chanting. They were chanting Krishna's names. They were doing mukya bhakti. And because of that, they got everything. In the Brahmavivarta Purana, I'm going to finish here in just a minute. I'm sorry we're going so long. I'm trying to make everything very quick. It's said that those ladies, they told Krishna, please, those guys are real jerks, you know, our husbands. We don't want to go back there. We want to stay with you. We want to join the Hare Krishna movement. We want to move into the temple, you know. We don't want to, like, stay with those guys anymore. And Krishna then told them, okay, tatastu, so be it. And then he and the boys sat down and started eating. And the ladies are standing there. What does he mean, so be it? What do we do now? And then all of a sudden, a Vaikuntha airplane came. And in that airplane, there were hundreds and hundreds of cowherd boys on that airplane. And they got off the chariot, they offered obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet, and they told those ladies, come on, get on the chariot. And they took them all back to Godhead. This is in Brahmavivarta Purana. But then, wait a minute, Krishna told them to go back. That also happened. Both things happened. Hare Krishnas are very tricky people. It's called Achintya Beta Beta. Krishna says at that time, Hadishchayam Vinirmaya Tasham Cha Vishnamaya Prastapayam Asagrihan Brahmananam Swayam Vibhu. At that time, Krishna employed his Yogamaya potency, and Krishna created shadow forms of all those ladies, and he sent them back to their husbands' homes. In other words, they weren't really there, just a shadow of them. And actually, it's described there that the wives, their husbands were even more happy, because when the wives came back, they were no longer agitated, wanting to see Krishna disturbed by these jerk husbands they've got. They were even more affectionate to their husbands. They were cooking for them more often. They were doing it. And their husbands didn't even think about it. Oh, they didn't think this is a shadow. They couldn't tell the difference. They were very, very happy. So, in a similar way, sometimes Gurudev, he tells us, we may go in the temple and we may find, oh my God, there's a lot of politics here. These guys are really doing things in a very mechanical way. I've been to some temples in our society like that. I'm sorry, I'm just being very honest. But Gurudev, and the devotee may want to escape from it, but Gurudev tells you, no, you go back. Somebody has to be there. You have to help. And those wives, when they returned to their husbands, it was just their shadow actually, because their hearts were in the spiritual world, were really with Gurudev, but maybe some shadow form is here in the institution thing, doing some service in this mechanical religion that we have around us, sometimes mechanical. Some shadow form is there. But that shadow form that comes there, those wives, they made their husband's sacrifices perfect. If those ladies hadn't come back, if they hadn't done that, then those sacrifices would not have been perfected. We like to take devotees around in Jagannath Puri, and we call it the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem. Each different Tirthastali there is a different classroom. The first classroom is a Jagannath Mandir, which represents mechanical, organized religion. And those guys are really mechanical, the Brahmins there. They're just interested in money, and they're very heavy, very pushy. You've been inside the temple? Am I correct? They're really bad. Mataji also, you've been, yes, you know. So, but right near there, there's another place, the Gambira. And the Gambira is a very quiet place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hearing Krishna Leela, Radha Leela, with Srup Damodar, Roy Ramananda, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Govinda's there sometimes, just those four devotees. So, God always supports organized religion. Jagannath, he always supports the Jagannath Mandir. And Mahaprabhu was going there three times a day. But he was also having the Gambira nearby. So in a similar way, we need to support organized religion, just as Krishna sent the wives back to help with that, because organized religion is necessary, because a lot of people want it. A lot of people want something mechanical. And it's okay, even if it's mechanical. Mantratas tantratas chidjam desha kalaha vastutaha. The eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam states, even if you're doing something mechanical, there may be some chidra, some fault in your mantra and tantra, your organized religion, but sarvam kroti nishchidram, all that chidra goes away, anu sankirtanam tava, with the chanting of the holy name. Many of the people, sometimes in our society even, they may be mechanical, they may be external. It's okay. Don't worry about it. If they're chanting the holy names, that's a secret weapon. If they just keep chanting, they'll become persons sooner or later. All their anarthas, all those things covering them, it's like we may be sitting here in the room with six blankets over my body, and I can't see the lights are on. But as I start taking one blanket at a time off, then I start to be able to see the light. And I start to be able to see what's going on and be able to hear something in the room. So in a similar way, we're very impersonal. There's so many layers of materialism covering us. That's okay. That's why we're here. Don't criticize a dirty person for standing in the shower. He's in the shower to get clean. It's the purpose of our movement. And we should understand this. So there's another interesting question we spoke about before. What type of yajna did those Brahmins do? Does anybody remember? Angira Yajna. Okay. Now here's an interesting question. Who were those ladies in their previous birth? How is it that they got so much mercy? The Brahmavivarta Purana addresses this subject. It says that Narad Muni once asked this question to Lord Narayan. How is it? Narad Muni is one of the boys. And he knows how to do yajna. He's a rishi. How is it these Brahmins, they didn't get a benefit, but their wives did? This doesn't make any sense. And he asked Lord Narayan who they were in their previous life. And Lord Narayan told them they were married to the Sapta Rishis. You may have heard of the Sapta Rishis, seven principal rishis, Angira Muni, who's another one or two. And Narad Muni, not Narad Muni, he's not one of the Sapta Rishis. Anyway, there's seven Grihastha guys. And they were very beautiful, very noble-hearted, very devoted to their husbands, very religious, and very, very beautiful. And one day, Agni Dev, who sometimes he gets a little hot, he saw those ladies and he got a little hot and excited. The ladies were cooking in their kitchen. And all of a sudden, a funny thing happened. The fire, the flames of the fire started coming up and touching parts of their bodies. Ladies didn't think anything about it. They're just cooking. Let's back up a little bit. I don't want to get burned. But when Angira Muni came back, Angira Muni, mark that. Angira Muni is one of the Sapta Rishis. When Angira Muni came back, he became very angry. He could understand what had happened. He said, Sarva Baksho Babuvaha, I curse you, Agni. Now you have to eat everything. And that's why he does. He's in the bellies of the meat eaters. He's in the fires of the crematorium grounds. He eats the dead bodies. He eats dead flesh in people's stomachs because he was cursed by Angira Muni. And then Angira Muni, he turned around to his wives who had been touched by this guy. And he said, you've all been touched by another man. So I reject you. You're all sinful women. And now I curse you. You have to take birth as human beings. The ladies started crying. Ladies always have a hard time. Throughout history, all over the world, it's a fact, they do. They started crying. And they said, look, this is not fair. We've always been devoted to you. We've never even thought about any other men. We're very chaste ladies. We're very attached to our husbands. If you curse us for this thing, which is not even our fault, then other ladies are going to be afraid of their husbands. How will they take shelter of their husbands? Where will they get shelter? If a woman has no shelter from her husband, where will she go? But Angira Muni told him, I have to. It says right here, Manu Sanhita. If a woman is touched by another man and her husband accepts her back, then he goes to hell. So I can't accept you. Manu Sanhita says that. Those ladies, they cried and said, please. And he said, okay, you'll take birth in Brahmin families in our line. and Brahmins in our family will marry you. Those ladies were more qualified than their husbands. Their husbands committed a great offense. And because of that, they got darshan of Krishna. Their husbands were just following all these rules and regulations of Mana Sanghita and this and that. Rules and regulations are very good, but they're meant to serve a purpose. If we insist on rules and regulations just for the sake of rules and regulations, as in this case, these ladies had not done anything wrong at all. Just without their knowing it, Agni Dev had touched them. And because of that, following the rules and regulations of Mana Sanghita very strictly, their husband rejected them. So those ladies became more elevated than their husbands. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that this pastime represents people who are being controlled by persons with a lower quality of faith. It represents people who are doing things in a mechanical way. My dear devotees, please, let's overcome this obstacle in our movement. When people come to our society, don't let them come and just see we're the International Society for Rules and Regulations. Yeah. We don't care. You may be eating meat, fine. Please come to our temple. You're smoking, you're drinking, please come. We don't care. Come and chant and dance with us. And they'll automatically, after some time, they'll forget about all their nasty business and they'll stop that. We're not like the born-again Christians who are threatening people, you're going to go to hell, and you'll go to hell also, and definitely you'll go to hell. We're not like that. We have a very positive thing. We just want people to come and chant with us, and take prasadam, and think about their life. Because Krishna consciousness is not something which can be forced. Religion is not meant like that. It's something that has to come from the heart. If I come and tell you, I just ordered Chaitanya Prabhu that he has to be your friend. And you say, that's a little weird. I don't know if I like the guy or not. You know, he's a nice guy, it's okay. But just because someone ordered him, what is that? You can't order someone to love someone. You can't order someone to be a devotee of Krishna. And Krishna's not interested in that. Radha Govinda, they're not like, you may have seen, I saw some movie advertisements in America some years ago, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Maybe you saw a sign for that movie. Krishna's not interested in body snatching. Krishna's a vegetarian. He doesn't want dead bodies. And he doesn't want us to bring bodies to him. He wants us to collect people's hearts. And we do that with love and affection. And we have to be very patient and tolerant. Srila Prabhupada described in one letter, he said that our movement, we're preaching to new people, and they're coming, so we have to be very tolerant of them. But we need to have functions like this also for older devotees and think about things in a deep way. We need to really reach out and be very loving and very personal and very affectionate to new people when they come. It's extremely powerful. It's much, much more powerful than telling them about four principles. I have a friend that I know in Australia who's a new devotee. And one day at the Australia farm, the Prime Minister of Australia came there. It was a big thing for the movement. And my friend got a chance to be close to her and preach to her a little bit. And it's a lady. And he told her, oh, you're a lady and you're a politician. You know, Chanakya Pandit, one great... one great thinker... In Vedic culture, he said one thing, that you should never trust a politician or a woman. So he preached her, and it's in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, like, she never came again. I don't know why, but... We have to be a little bit thoughtful and not just mechanically repeat things from the books. We have to think about people. We have to be a person. Okay. We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Radha Govinda Ju ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Gopremanandi, Vansha Kalpadarubhischa, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Paritanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. I was going to do a bhajan for 5 minutes, but I think it's really too late.
I'm looking around to see if anybody's saying no.
Okay, so this is a bhajan that we're not allowed to do in the temple, okay? But sometimes in someone's house, we... Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol, Bolo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bol. Jai Jai Radha Madan Mohan Bol. Jai Jai Radha Govinda Bol.
Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda.
Bancha Kapadrubishcha, Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha, Paditanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Thank you all very much. I'm sorry that we went for so long. I think we should just take prasadam. If anybody has any questions or anything, you can come and